यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरावनचारी जमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
जय ओम विष्णु पाद परमहंस परिवचकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सिद्ध शिष्य मध्य जीवाइंग्रे श्रील ऐसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड श्री राधा कुंड श्री गिरि गोवर्धन की ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की गंगा मैया जमुना मैया की भक्ति देवी तुलसी महारानी की समवेद गौर भक्त वृंद की हिताई गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंगा ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यां नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासां ततो जाया मुदीरहे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमा श्लोके भक्ति भवती नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः प्रकृति गुणा संयम वै प्रकृतिर नात्मनो गुणः सत्वम रजस तम इति स्थिति उत्पत्ति अंत हेतव प्रकृतिर्गुण संयम वै प्रकृतिर्नात्मनो गुणः सत्वं रजस्तम इति स्थिति उत्पत्ति अंत हेतव प्रकृतिर्गुण संयम वै प्रकृतिर्नत्मनो गुणः सत्वं रजस्तम इति स्थिति उत्पत्ति अंत हेतव प्रकृतिर्गुण संयम वाई प्रकृतिर्नत्मनो गुण सत्वं रजस्तम इति स्थिति उत्पत्ति अंत हेतव Mataji's. Prakriti. Material nature, guna of the three modes, samyam, the original equilibrium, vai, indeed, prakriti of nature, na atmanaha, not of the spirit soul, gunaha, these modes, Satvam, goodness, Raja, passion, Tama, ignorance, Iti, thus called, Stiti, of the maintenance of universal creation, Utpati, its production, Anta, and its annihilation, Hetava, the causes. Translation: Nature exists originally as the equilibrium of the three material modes which pertain only to nature, not to the transcendental spirit soul. These modes, goodness, passion and ignorance, are the effective causes of the creation, maintenance and destruction of this universe. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Purport: In Bhagavad Gita 3.27 it is stated, Prakriti kriyamanani guna karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by nature. The three modes of nature in their original state of equilibrium, as well as the subsequent creation generated from the modes, are vastly more powerful than the tiny living entity who is controlled by them. The living entity thus cannot be accepted as the actual doer or creator within the material world. The mode of goodness is symptomized by the experience of knowledge, the mode of passion by the experience of work, and the mode of ignorance by the experience of darkness. These modes of material knowledge, work and darkness have no real relation with the transcendental spirit soul, who exhibits his own qualities of eternality, bliss and knowledge, the Sandhini, Samvit and Ladini potency of the Supreme Lord. The material modes have no access into the kingdom of God, in the unbounded atmosphere of which the eternal living entity is meant to live. Om Agyan Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी इति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वांछाकल्पातरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौरत्विषे नमः। पंचतत्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्त अवतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी दे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। जय श्री कृष्णा चैतन्या प्रभु नित्यानंद श्रियाद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। सो दिस इज स्टिल द ब्यूटिफुल कंटिन्यूएशन फॉर लास्ट सो मेनी चैप्टर्स बिटवीन लॉर्ड कृष्ण एंड उद्धव एंड यूर इन द चैप्टर विच एंटाइटल द एलिमेंट्स ऑफ मटीरियल क्रिएशन। लॉर्ड कृष्ण इज एक्सप्लेनिंग अबाउट द primarily about the three modes of material nature, and in which the purport quotes a beautiful verse, prakriti kriyamanani guna karmani sarvasya ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. So this is the situation of the material world, that when the prakriti, the modes of nature, are the doers, but ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate, but the tiny living entity, I like the word tiny here, in the purport is used, the tiny living entity, it gives us a very clear cut understanding of what we all really are. The tiny living entity, vimudatma, vimuda, foolish, absolutely foolish living entity, he thinks that he is the doer. Kartaham iti manyate. It is quite stupid, it is quite foolish. I mean, if you just imagine that a tiny boy, you know, who is trying to push a big rock, and he just works very hard. For the boy, it is impossible to push the rock. So his huge father, well-built father, he says, okay, son, you just close your eyes and just touch your finger and the rock will move. And he says, oh really? Yeah, I said, it will move. And then he closes his eyes and he touches the rock and the rock starts moving. He said, and the father said, don't open the eyes. But what is happening? The father is pushing the rock because father can do it. But because the child is in ignorance, because he's closed his eyes, he doesn't know. And he thinks, kartaham iti manyate, I am the doer. See, I did it. And he not only does it, but he brags about it to everybody. You know something what I did today? I closed my eyes and still I should push the rock. I mean, if you just visualize this scenario, you can understand it, how
stupid and how crazy it is. So the one of the important aspects of spiritual life is, or rather one of the aspects of self-realization is to understand who the self is. And we understand the self is, we always subservient to the Lord. But it's also important to understand how tiny the self is. Till the extent we do not understand, and not only understand or not only hear, but keep on reminding ourselves that how tiny we are, we will still feel every now and then, kartaham iti manyate. And then Krishna will call us vimudha. Kartaham iti, I am the doer. Many times we just, so often at least it applies very much to what I was thinking about myself, that we speak so many beautiful slokas and it's become so much part of our vocabulary, not realizing what this verse is all about. When I was focusing on this verse and specifically trying to understand the gunas, the three modes of material nature, the gunas, it made so much sense that, oh my goodness, I've forgotten this beautiful verse that Krishna speaks in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. The kartaham iti manyate, because it is just so easy and just so, in one sense, natural for us to think that I am the doer. But Krishna says vimudha. Because who is doing this? Prakriti. In the material world, the Prakriti is doing everything. She is the doer. You are not the doer. Very, very interesting. You know, I just came across a statement by Stephen Hawkins. I'm sure you all know him. A brilliant scholar from the Oxford University. I went to London, I visited Oxford, I went to his, that time he was still alive. So, you know, we happened to meet his students. But he speaks a beautiful statement. Of course, you know, please understand, he was very proud to call himself an atheist. He was absolutely a hardcore, well-proclaimed atheist. So his statement is obviously filled with atheism. But it's interesting to understand. It makes us understand, gives a perspective of what we really are. A person who was absolutely brilliant. I mean, we know of a devotee in London. You know, very active devotee. In his younger days, he was actually got, he's also a brilliant student. He was a brilliant student. And he actually had got a chance to work under Stephen Hawkins to be his student. But you all know Stephen Hawkins had a serious disease. You all know his, if you have seen his photograph, he had a serious disease. He was on wheelchair for last 70, 80 years. But Krishna had given him such brilliant brain substance. So anybody who was going to be his assistant had to really not only be his assistant, but also had to do his work of feeding him food, taking care of him. And that's because that he was actually completely wheelchair ridden, if not bedridden. But he was a brilliant, brilliant person. Please, you know, you can study about him if you get chance. Not what he wrote, but about him. Brilliant guy. What he says is very interesting. Please make a note. You will really understand of what is, how tiny we are. So just, I said, what he says is, he says, we are just a chemical scum on a moderate size planet. Now, what is chemical scum? I mean, and for him, please understand, you can replace this chemical scum to a tiny living entity, 1/10,000 tip of a hair. But for him, everything is a chemical. A scum is nothing but the residual, the most useless part of a chemical. So what he says is, it's just a chemical scum on a moderate sized planet orbiting around a very average star in the outer suburb of one among 100 billion galaxies. I loved the description. I mean, you just imagine yourself sitting at Sri Sri Radha Gopinath temple, or maybe, you know, imagine yourself sitting in some position where you think you are the doer. You know, you're sitting on your chair and you are in a cabin, or you are in your department, or you are in your job, or you are wherever. And just imagine you are here, and what we are, and what is Stephen Hawking telling us, what we realize is 1/10,000th tip of a hair, a small chemical scum, in his words, in a moderate sized planet, not even a great planet, because if I was studying, the Earth planet is so small that if you have 7 Earth planets put together in one line, it is just equal to the rings of Saturn. I mean, Saturn is much, much more bigger. If you 7 Earths put together one after another, it just equals, just about equals to the rings of the Saturn. What talk of Jupiter? It's not even comparable. So he's saying it is just the scum of a moderate sized planet, very small size. If you see a perspective for those who have seen, if you have visited Nehru Planetarium or you have seen some galaxy shows, you know, they show it beautifully. They just zoom out. Yeah, and they just zoom out and then they show you that, okay, what's your Bombay, and then zoom out. You get some experience about it from the Google Maps if you do zoom out. But Google will just show about the Earth. What he's saying is, it's just in a moderate sized planet orbiting around a very average star. he calls it the sun as an average star. And nothing, I mean, of course, we know sun is sun. I mean, it is Surya Bhagavan. But he said it's a average star in the outer suburb of one amongst 100 billion galaxies. So it means it's like we are, Earth is like the Virar planet, Virar, outer suburb of one of the 100 billions of galaxies, the billions of galaxies. You know, we have solar system and this. If you see, there are beautiful pictures just showing the relative position of our solar system between this whole, it is called the Virgo galaxy that we are in. Okay, that's our galaxy, and there are billions of galaxies. This is from the scientific perspective. Forget talking about the perspective from what we know from the Shastras. And that's what Prabhupada also gave up. In his own beautiful way, Prabhupada was speaking to Tamal Krishna Goswami, and he spoke the same thing. That, you know, Tamal Krishna, of course, both of them are worshipable to us. We have no right, but both of them are great personalities. But Prabhupada, as a guru, was trying to teach his disciple. And I said that, what is this? San Francisco, which is a small city in California, which is a small state in America, which is a place in Earth planet. And then he zooms out, and he said, and still you think you are the controller. It's worth to think about the beautiful story about Lord Brahma when he visits Lord Krishna. I remember it was my favorite story when I was I heard it in almost a week's time since after I became a devotee. I was reading The Coming Back. That was the first book I read. And then my brother, he told me this story. I said, this is beautiful. I said, Lord Brahma came and as Radhanath Maharaj explains so beautifully, that please tell Brahma has come. He said, which Brahma? Is a four-headed Brahma. Because what you are proud of is what you are saying, what you said. Who are you? Say, me Gujarat se aayo. If you are proud of Gujarat, me Marathi manus, I'm Marathi. Something. So what you are proud of, you speak that. So Brahma is proud of his four heads, because nobody has four heads. I have four heads. So you go. So Krishna says, okay, I am going to use that. What is proud? Come in. And then Krishna just, you know, he calls all the other Brahmas, and then Brahma sees 8, 16, you know, on and on and on and on and on. You can use the calculator and say 512, 1024, billions of millions of heads. And he finds himself insignificant. Yeah. Lord Brahma finds himself insignificant. Obviously, if I speak about the glories of Lord Brahma, we can have the whole lecture about the glorious position of Lord Brahma. And we just hear the glory of Lord Brahma, and then we speak, this Brahma was feeling insignificant. You can imagine what is our situation, right? So please, my dear friends, it's very, very important to understand, before we even really try to fathom the glory of Krishna, try to fathom the glory of the spiritual world, try to fathom, you know, the glory of the bhakti process. A very interesting and important part of our process is to understand our infinitesimal, small, tiny, insignificant position. Are we all convinced, at least right now? I mean, at least, because it's so difficult. In the next moment, we are not convinced. But at least right now, let's face it. Yes, I am tiny. This is nothing. I am nothing. Because what existence do we... I mean, I was... Sometimes feel like laughing, right? I mean, we throw our tantrums. We throw our weight over people. But what is our existence? What are we? Nothing. It's absolutely nothing. Ahankara vimudatma. Pride. Ahankar. Karta hamiti manyate. Beautiful verse. I mean, this verse is my favorite verse from now on. Prakriti kriya manani guna karmani sarvasya ahankara vimudatma karta hamiti manyate. And then we think how. So before we even begin to really understand the glory of... So Srila Prabhupada also, if you read, I was even today morning we played a class in the altar while we were dressing service. Prabhupada speaks about the three modes of material nature. How many times Prabhupada speaks again and again and again and again about the three modes of material nature? And here I found a very interesting conversation of Prabhupada. Prabhupada says, he explains that there's this whole world is nothing but. It is real. It is not allegory. It is not a statement made out of some poetic liberty that an author is taking. It is a real statement. It said that this whole material entire universe is a product of the three gunas. The whole creation, material creation, is a product of this three gunas: sattva, raja, and tama. And Prabhupada explains. Prabhupada analyzes is that. He connected this sattva, raja and tama to colors. And Prabhupada used a beautiful, he said, just like we have primary three colors. You all know three colors, red, blue and yellow. These are the three primary colors. He said, these are the three primary colors. He said, but you mix them. And Prabhupada says, you mix them in some proportion, then you get green, orange and pink. And so on and many colors. So the three become six. The 6 become 9, the 9 become 81, the 81, and that's how you different proportions you use, and that's how the whole creation is created. And Prabhupada uses a beautiful statement. This was a conversation in Mumbai, right in our city. He said, thus, material nature is the greatest artist. What a beautiful statement. Because material nature colors, you have, you know, like how an artist takes on a canvas, he just does some color and then he mixes some color and does some putty color and mixes some color. And I said, wow, it's beautiful. And what beautiful artist is Mother Nature. That she just draws the whole creation through these different colors, the gunas. And that's how everything that exists. So I think today we will be going to discuss about this very important aspect. We have been hearing about these three gunas ever since the day one of our Krishna consciousness. But at least I realized that the words used here is equilibrium. These gunas always should exist. They existed at the time of creation in equilibrium, and they should continue to exist in equilibrium. And the problem is, most of the time we find this whole gunas completely out of equilibrium, or what we call it, disequilibrium. It is not balanced. Now, you know, before we really go into understanding, you know, if you are, I think we mentioned this some other time, or maybe not here, that this balance is such an important thing. Like, you know, we have this particular phenomenon in the body called vertigo. What is vertigo? That just some little liquid, some Gaurang Priya Prabhu, I'm not sure about medically what it's called, some tube here, you are a doctor, and there's some liquid which just goes off balance, and you can't even balance. Something little liquid here, or some eustachian tube or something, I don't know, something. And it just goes off and you can't even stand properly. If you're sitting on a chair, see for yourself, You will never sit your legs like this. You will always have your legs like this. Because this is the only way you can be balanced. Naturally. Try for yourself. Nand, you are sitting there. I was observing, you can never sit. When you're sitting, you cannot sit like you. When you walk like this. But when you sit, you walk like this. Because this is the only way you can balance. Because if you sit like this, you stand up, you will fall. If you sit like this, you stand up, you'll fall. You have to stand up like this, and then that's how, I mean, it is so basic that you can ignore it. That's how basic balancing is. But it's so critical in life that balancing anything is so critical. Yes, you understand? Anything you balance is so critically important. Whether it is your food, whether it is your thoughts, whether it is your practical living, everything has to be balanced, has to be in equilibrium. If it is not in equilibrium, it is off balance. And if you're off balance, you fall down. Very simple. Your spiritual life, it has to be in balance. And that's why today we're going to discuss about the gunas. That's what we are made up of. That was this whole material world is made up of. And what are these gunas? First, let's understand what are these gunas. It may be a little basic, but we'll try to make it interesting. It'll be interestingly basic. So what is sattva guna? Sattva guna is all about, you know, intelligence. Rajaguna is all about energy, and tamaguna is all about ignorance. I mean, about substance or about inertia, right? So what are the qualities? Let's just understand what are the qualities of sattva guna. Before we even try to understand to balance something, we should know what it is all about, and how does it apply to me, and what are those particular modes in me, in what proportion and everything, and then we learn to balance them. So what is sattva guna? Sattva guna is all about intelligence, is all about virtue and goodness. It creates harmony, balance and stability. Please understand, this is sattva guna. What is sattva guna? It creates balance, harmony, stability, goodness and virtue. Very interesting. I was just analyzing those you know, we have scalars and vectors. You studied physics. Scalar is simply a quantity, but vector is a direction. You all know that when you have a line, but you do an arrow in front, that becomes a vector quantity. So distance is a scalar, displacement is a vector, right? Because we give a direction. Similarly, what is the direction? We have a sattva guna as a scalar quantity, but what is the direction? If you vectorize sattva guna, then the sattva guna is all about inward and upward motion. Sattva guna is all inward and it takes you upward. Interesting, right? There's a quality of sattva. It is all intrinsic by nature, and it takes you upward. And sattva provides happiness and contentment of a lasting nature. It is a very interesting. One of the principal qualities of sattva guna is that it gives clarity, wideness and peace. Very interesting. Sattva guna is a guna which gives you clarity, wideness. You know, we talk about taking photographs. And nowadays in our camera, in our phones, we have wide angle. For those who have camera, wide angle lenses. So more width you have, the more vision you have. And more vision you have, more thing you can capture. So sattva guna is all about width. Is all about clarity. And it's all about peace. So I was analyzing, why was it that Yudhishthir Maharaj able to answer the Yaksha Prashna and not the other Pandavas? They came, they asked. Very interesting, because we all know Govind Prabhu has taken a beautiful seminar on Yaksha Prashna in detail. How each question is like a cryptic question, each of the questions. Right? And Yudhishthir Maharaj brilliantly answered each of them. Why? Because Yudhishthir Maharaj was always in sattva guna. His personality denotes a sattva guni personality. A person who is sattva guna, always in sattva guna. If you see the Pandavas, let's take Yudhishthir Maharaj, Bhima, Arjun, Nakul, Sahadev, we can give. They were not there today, so they, we don't. But Yudhishthir Maharaj signifies Sattvaguna. So he had complete clarity, and that's why the answer I was just reading the Yakshaprasha. What clarity that he has, and that's the quality of Sattvaguna, my dear friends. Let us all understand. If we want to be clear, we want to be wide, we want to be peaceful, we want to be completely happy in situation, contented, and that's what we all need. These are the qualities which are offered by Sattvaguna. Rajaguna. Rajaguna is a quality of change, activity and turbulence. It introduces a disequilibrium and upsets the existing balance. Raja is just changes all the balance and completely makes the whole thing unbalanced, disequilibrium. And as we say, if you give a vector quantity to it, Raja is all about action. It is outward motion, and it always goes in a direction of seeking personal benefit. The direction is upward. Upward means towards God in Sattvaguna. But what is the direction of Raja? Raja means its outward motion is all about action, and it causes self-seeking action that leads to fragmentation and disintegration. Please understand. It is required. Please understand. We are not saying, because all these three are required at some point in time, but we need to attribute them their qualities and use them as and when they are required. You use the wrong thing at the wrong time, then you'll be in trouble. So yes, Raja is action. Raja gives you that dynamism. But most of the time, Raja is, if not used properly, it is outwardly, because it's action oriented. And it leads towards self-seeking action, which leads to fragmentation and disintegration. And in short, Raja is stimulates pleasure owing to unbalance, and its forces causes distress and conflict. So Rajaguna, if not used properly, adequately, if not balanced by proper Sattvaguna at some point in time, it will lead to distress and conflict. Tamaguna. What does Tamaguna mean? It is a quality of dullness, darkness, inertia, and it has a quality of veiling. We call it the veil, right? The veil. Veil is what covers a face of a lady, for example. This quality of ignorance is like it has a veiling quality. The direction of tama is, it is downward motion. It causes decay and disintegration. Sattvagun goes up. Rajagun goes out, and Tamaguna goes down. It causes decay and disintegration. Tama brings about ignorance and delusion in the mind and promotes insensitivity, loss of awareness and sleep. I'm sure we know this, but we are trying to just first understand what are these qualities all about. Sattva, Raja and Tama. We just speak Sattva, Raja, Tama. But what are these about? Sattva, we understand, it is positive. It gives rise to clarity. Raja gives rise to self-centeredness, and Tama gives rise to ignorance. In short, in brief. So, if you're trying to connect this, I mean, Krishna does so beautifully that he connects so many things, foods in the mode of Sattvagun, Rajagun, Tamagun, then everything else, the words in the form of, beautifully, because everything you do is in the three modes. So our day, when you are, you know, when Sattva means to wake up, Raja means to dream, and Tama means to in deep sleep. Just to give a understanding of what Raja means, to dream, to be action, to do something. Because in dream you don't sit, you are doing some action. But Sattva is all about waking up. He has to wake up. So it is only in Sattva Guna you actually awake. Otherwise in both the other Gunas you actually sleeping. One is dreaming stage, other is deep slumber stage. Now let us understand what is the connection of these Gunas that Krishna speaks here with the mind. Because the mind is, it's important, because how does it control the mind? The mind is basically It's all about sattva. It creates clarity, which gives rise to truth and gives light and concentration. Tama is in the factor of gives. I mean, so sattva guna, when it comes to the mind, it gives rise to truth. Sattva. Satya. And similarly, the tamaguna and rajaguna gives rise to agitation and delusion. So it's explained that raja and tamaguna, usually they work together. And what happens usually, it's very interesting to understand, the rajaguna gives rise to expression of energy. Gives rise to a lot of energy, gives rise to a lot of activity, action. And after a lot of activity and action, it will lead to exhaustion, and that's when tamagun prevails. Now we are not talking about activity only in the mode of, in the means of bodily activity. And here it is very important to understand that how a successful charismatic leader or even a devotee or whatever we are, why is it that if he is constantly working, or she is constantly working for getting something? Many times we are working hard to achieve something, right? Most of the time we are achievers. But if we are not, if you're in a mood of achieving and you achieve something, why is it that many times the leaders who are successful, they experience depression and loneliness? If you analyze, many times you meet these very successful people, they're very lonely. So very beautifully explained by Shivaram Swami Maharaj, he explains that what is the reason why are successful people, and this will very much apply to our devotee community as well, why are successful people many times found lonely? He said, because they are constantly working in Rajaguna. Our ISKCON society obviously does facilitate a lot of activities. But is the goal of our society activity? The goal of society is consciousness. Because Prabhupada named our society as International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It is a consciousness-based society and not a activity-based society. But if you see, many, many times, we are very much focused towards achieving things. Right in the morning, we have a to-do list. As we say that, you know, for a hammer, everything looks like a nail. For a chronic multitasker, everything looks like a task. You understand when we talk about multitasking? So that means everything is a task. That means the moment you get up in the morning, it's a task. I will take bath. I will chant my Gayatri. It's a task. I will chant my rounds. It's a task. I'll do Guru Puja, I'll dance 1, 2, 3, 4. It's a task. Just like for a hammer, everything looks like a nail. For a chronic multitasker, everything looks like a task. That means we do task. We are only task oriented, we are only result oriented people. And we become like that. And because we are living in a fast paced world, we are, whether we like it or not, whether we know it or not, whether we realize it or not, we are becoming extremely task oriented. And that is why we are constantly in what is called Rajaguna. Because Rajaguna is all about task. It's all about achieving. Achieve and see yourself. You analyze yourself. You know, after the class, sit down and see. Most of the time in our day, we are here to achieve things. We are achievers. Or rather, we want to be achievers. And that is why Shivaram Maharaj makes a brilliant point. From Rajaguna, a constant engagement in Rajaguna will slowly lead to Tamaguna. It's natural. You just slowly go down. And Tamaguna, when you work hard, what do you do? You sleep, right? So that's physically, you see, passion leading to ignorance. Of course, that sleep is required. So I'm not saying tama is bad. Because that tama, you need to be in tamaguna to get rest. So you are using that tamaguna to rejuvenate your body. But just drawing the parallel further, if you are constantly doing activities to achieve things, you are an achiever, you are a charismatic, smart leader, you have achieved things. Yes, I've achieved, I've done this to my credit. The sad part is, if you are not focused on sadhana and you are not trying to go upwards and inwards as satvaguna is all about, you are trying to just go outwards and doing things to achieve as rajaguna is all about, and if you are not in satvaguna, then slowly but surely you will go downwards, and that verse is all about tamaguna. And that's where tamaguna is all about loneliness and depression. Depression is a sign of tamaguna. Having no friends, being lonely. Believe me, my friends, there are people, the more dynamic they look, the more activity they show externally. Don't judge, by the way, don't be judged, because we spoke last class about being judgmental. We should not judge, but there's a good possibility the more external fizz you see, the more internal hollowness is there. And that is why these people, they are very dynamic. Oh, it's a wow. They give the wow factor to all people. But internally, when they are alone in their rooms, when alone in their in the places, they are absolutely lonely, depressed people. Because why? Because they constantly operate in rajaguna and leading to damaguna. And please, let's not think that this will not apply to devotees. We could be chanting in rajaguna, we could be practically living our whole day, practically the whole day from morning 4:30, even if you get up at 4 o'clock. You say, well, I got up at 4 o'clock, Brahma Murda. But it is, if you are rajaguni, if you sing as a task, you are rajaguni. Your whole day is filled with rajaguna in achieving things, and constantly associating with rajaguna for a long period of time will give rise to tamaguna, which is depression and loneliness and many other things that come up. So it is very important how the mind works. That satvaguna is the guna which creates stability. And we should all understand that we will discuss a little later on how do we really convert, how do we really get the whole thing into equilibrium. How to get this gunas, which is too much of tamas, or too much of rajas, how to really grow up and make it sattva and not into tama. We'll discuss that. There is a whole beautiful process. And it is a part of our process that we do, but we need to be cognizant, we need to be aware of this process. Now we'll talk about, you know, a mental constitution, or rather, how do we know, if many times we all want to know, okay, what is my nature, what is my personality, right? Maybe we love to, and there are some forms. I like to fill the form. I've seen every time I do a seminar and I say, okay, you know, by doing this, you will come to know what. Oh, well, sure, everybody does it. Because we all want to do what is called self introspection, self revelation is very important for us, what we really are. So, of course, you know, the class doesn't allow me, but I've prepared a whole mental constitution chart. On if you're doing this, then which guna you are. You can take from, I can send it to the brahmachari, you know, this thing. But, you know, we'll just discuss few points. I said, a particular aspect of need of sleep. Now, please understand, nothing is bad. It's not that if you are satvaguna is bad or tamaguna is bad, but you will know what guna is prominent. And if you compile this whole list, you will know which guna is prominently over you. So need of sleep, if it is little, it is satvaguni. Prabhupada, absolute, sudha satvaguni. I couldn't imagine, how can somebody function with just less sleep? So if you have little, is satvaguna, moderate is rajaguna, high is tamaguna. Speech. If you are calm and peaceful, and we have any personality comes in front of you, calm and peaceful, Sangeetan Prabhu, Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj. I mean, you are agitated, you are excited, but they will say, okay, Shridham Prabhu, I will tell you. It's calm and peaceful, Sattvaguni. Agitated means Rajagun and dull means Tamagun. From speech. Cleanliness, high cleanliness, Sattvaguna. Moderate, Rajaguna. Low, Tamaguna. When you're working for, if you're selfless, you know what you are. If you work for your personal goals, you are Rajaguni. And you are lazy, you're not working at all, you are Tamaguni. Now please ask yourself, you know, we are supposed to be selfless. Sarva upadir virir muktam tat paratvena nirmalam. This is brilliant to quote, brilliant to know, and brilliant to give exam on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the definition of bhakti. Practice. I was discussing with one brahmachari today morning. So many things we speak, so many things we hear, seldom do we follow. One of them. Selfless is Sattvaguni. But ask yourself, am I doing work? Am I doing preaching? Am I doing speaking? Am I doing anything for personal goals? Please be sure, you are Rajaguni. Accept it. At least to yourself. May be difficult to accept to others. But accept for yourself. And if you are dull, lazy, of course you know what you are. You are in Tamaguna. Similarly, anger. If you are rarely angry, you are Sattvaguni. If you are sometimes angry, you are Rajaguni. And similarly, very, very frequently angry, you are Tamaguni. Forgiveness. Very interesting. A Sattvaguni person forgives easily. He forgives easily. With effort, if you take effort to forgive, you are Rajaguni. And you hold grudge for a long period of time. You are Tamaguni. You must know that. Truthfulness. You are always truthful, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Sattvaguni. Most of the time, it is Rajaguni, and rarely. So, I mean, this is the constitution. So, what that point that we are trying to drive is that every aspect of your life, creativity, spiritual study, concentration, memory, we have everything. Every aspect is done in various modes. And of course, many times different modes affect you in different ways. Sometimes you are Sattvaguni, but your constitution, you shine, because ultimately the purpose is, what is the purpose? Is to slowly, what is it here? We are trying to create an equilibrium. We'll discuss about the equilibrium as we mentioned. We have just, I'm sorry, we are running short of time. So what is it that we are trying to do? What we are trying to do is, if we have Tamaguna, how to create equilibrium? We need to first break the Tamaguna. And how do we break the Tamaguna? By developing Rajaguna from the mental inertia to self-motivated action. Very interesting. First thing what we need to do, if you find ourselves heavily Tamaguni, you cannot get a person from Tamaguna state to Sattvaguna. Not possible. You need to get him into what we call it, moving into mental inertia to self-motivated action. You first lead him to first do some action. No wonder if you analyze, I was just analyzing it, this statement, I heard it, and there's a Prabhupada. In the beginning days of ISKCON, Prabhupada gives so many activities. He said, do this, do that, book distribution, do prasadam distribution, do go to Harinam and sing. Okay, you have nothing to do, go on the street and sing Kirtan. Why was it? If you see deep within, Prabhupada was such a brilliant. Most of the people were mostly in Tamaguna platform. And to get them sit and chant Hare Krishna, difficult. Those your Prabhupada said, first from Tamaguna, you have to break the Tama. You have to break the Tamas. Get them out. And how do we get them out? You get them out by, from completely inertia to self-motivated action. And that's why Prabhupada created what you call marathon. Oh, 5 books, 10 books, some motivation, right? Raja. For Raja, you need motivation. So he created that. And then, from breaking the tama and getting into self-motivated action, which is Raja, you slowly develop from self-motivated action to selfless service. You cannot get a person from inertia to selfless service. Not possible. You have to have a gradation, a strong gradual process of raising a person. So for us also, we need to understand, we cannot bring ourselves to the Sattvaguna immediately. If you are in Tamaguna, you rise to Rajaguna, you do action, and slowly bring that action, as we say, from self-motivated action to selfless action, and then slowly, slowly from Sattvaguna to coming to Shuddha Sattva by chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this is very important. To break the tamas, moving the tamas to rajas, what I personally will call this is personal healing. We will give, this is personal healing. To how? From bringing ourselves from tama to raja is personal healing. And how does it work? What do we do? First, you need to wake up and begin to change. First, you need to realize. You need to know what you really are. First, need to come out of tamaguna. And that's why we did this exercise of where you are. Just to analyze, okay, first let me know where I am. Many a times we don't even have time to do introspection because so much of rajaguna, we are just so busy doing things, we don't even know who I am, why I am, why I do what I do. Right? The first thing to rise from tamaguna to rajaguna is to be awake and find, recognize what we are, confront our pains, and see what are the various things that we have ignored or suppressed in last so many years. There are so many suppressed, ignored needs, wants. When you suppress something and you are ignoring it, it's tamaguna. You need to find out what they are, really are. And then you add the action to it. And when you add action to it, you need to do something about it. You need to bring it to a situation which gives rise to what is called self-motivated action. At least some action that will help me. That will make it to rajaguna. And then from rajaguna, we rise. If the first thing from tama to raja is called self-healing, then the second from rajas to sattva, we can call it, you know, healing with the help of, helping the humanity, because we become a larger family. Sattvaguna is all about wideness, as we said, right? We discussed, it's all about wideness, is more all about clarity. So then what does it do that when we're moving the rajas to tamas, what happens? You depersonalize your problems and you start seeing the problems of everybody. See, first of all, if you are ignorant, you don't even know you are suffering. A person who is ignorant, who is just falling in the gutter, he doesn't know he's suffering. So first you bring him out, and then you realize that you are suffering. Oh, you're suffering. Oh, what should I do? I'm suffering. What do I do about it? Then you start doing some actions to really relieve yourself of suffering. That is action in rajaguna. But the purpose is not to be in rajaguna. The idea is to rise to the sattvaguna. Because it's only in sattvaguna that you can connect to the higher aspects of life. And the sattvaguna is, if you're constantly dealing with your problems, constantly eye-centric, me and mine, which is rajaguna, then you cannot. So you convert that self-motivated action to selfless action. Not me, but we. 180 degrees. Change it. To we, and this slow process, the gradual process, will slowly help us to bring about the equilibrium in our lives. And that is why we understand that the main thing that really adds equilibrium ultimately. There is a beautiful Prabhupada's speaks about the five elements. The five elements, the mind is the seer. We created a pictograph of this, very interesting. And the mind is a seer, and then that whatever the mind receives from the senses, the intelligence is processing. Are you all with me? It's like a whole diagram. The eyes, the mind, the intelligence processes. And what does the intelligence do? The processed data it goes to the ego. Ego is the modifier. Very interesting. Whatever the process data is, goes to the ego, ahankar, and from ahankar, based on how you modify it, it becomes sattva, rajas, or tamas. So please understand the process of chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Trinadapi Sunichena, Taroreva Saishana, Manina Manadena, Kirtanya Sadahari, the glorious chanting the holy names. I think we are celebrating 1 week of holy name week, something about the glories of the holy name. So important to understand that with all this equilibrium we are trying to discuss, it is the easiest way to do it, because if you just purify your ego, because it is the ego where everything, the intelligence gives the process data to the ego, and the way ego is what? It's the modifier. It modifies. And if you see something, for example, how did Haridas Thakur see beating in marketplace? People are beating him, right? How did he see it? His ego processed it in a way where he wanted to forgive the people who are executing him. Can you imagine? Just imagine if you are beaten up. And if your ego is in a mode of raja, you want to beat that other person up. So what happens in trains? Somebody stamps you. Why? Because, you have action. The action is possible. The intelligence gives to the ego. And the ego says, I'm in raja. How dare he does this to me? Gives rise to fight. But the same ego, if it is purified, it is completely pure, like Haridas Thakur. I was imagining, how can he do the way he did it? Because his ego was so damn purified. I'm sorry. So clear, so crystal clear purified, that he processed that input of getting beaten in not one, not two, not three, but 22 marketplaces. And he's praying to the Lord that please forgive them. How is it possible? Because his ego was purified. So we really, whatever we discuss is very important to understand the whole scientific, the whole process of sattva, raja, tama. But in one sense, it is a very easy process, but yes, very difficult. Simply purify your false ego. There is a false ego which gives you the understanding of what whether to see it in a sattva gun, raja gun, or tama gun. If you have a purified ego, and that's why you see the same thing. If you are in a sattva guna, you will see it differently. But the same thing, you many times you are in a tamoguna. Tamoguna is overpowering you. You see the same thing in a different way. Many times, you are in a sattvic guna, everything is fine, and you reach home, and the food is not cooked. I said, no problem, I'll wait. I'll wait, you must be busy. I'm talking about grihasthas, or for that matter, where is the book? I want this book. In library, me a book nahi hai. No problem, we will find it. If you are sattvaguni, we will find it. But the same situation, the same thing. Rajagun, where is the book? Where is the food? Why is it not ready yet? Are you getting it? Right? So the modes is all about how the ego is modifying the inputs. So let us all please understand. I'll just end with this one simple statement. Let us all basically be tamsically grounded to earth, rajasically passionate about our work and sadhana, and sattvically reaching the goal. So we can use all three. We can be, tamsically grounded to the earth. Tamsik means, what is tamas? Tamas, it keeps you grounded. So use that tamas to be grounded. So that we can rajasic means you need passion. You need passion. What? Passion to achieve Krishna, lotus feet. Achieve the situation where we can make Prabhupada proud of us. We can make our Guru Maharaj proud of us. So we can be rajasically passionate for that, so that we can sattvically reach our goal, the kingdom of God. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki. I'm sorry for the 10 minutes of overtime. Please pardon me.
Manas Rajuguna. Rajuguna mati tamoguna karidna jaye. Rajuguna mati tamoguna jaye na. Actually, tumhe continuously Rajuguna deal kare karo. Tumhe su karo, Rajuguna kaam karo bo budu. Tumhe thagi jao na tumhe. To thagi jao to su thagi jao no Rajuguna thegi na, tamoguna thegi. Similarly, you achieve, but you don't do the same thing.